Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Palm Sunday, the Passion Sunday. Pastor Alan Miller, chosen for his sermon topic, Who Is This?, based on Matthew chapter 21, verses Mark through 15. Our musicians this morning will be Caroline Carter and Kerry Scott on the trumpets, and on the piano will be Judy Tufel. Your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's great to be with you on this Palm Sunday. I welcome you to another joyous morning, a joyous worship service this morning as we celebrate the triumphant coming of our King. We know that Jesus, He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And this morning we remember that He is the King of Peace as well as the King of Sorrow. He's the King of all things, and He has come to visit us, His people, this morning. Well, let us rejoice in the Lord, dear friends, and prepare our hearts before Him. As you are able, would you please stand? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our Palm Sunday processional reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came up to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Would the congregation please stand for a word of prayer? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for you have sent your Son to be our Savior. As the people of Jerusalem welcomed him with palms and shouts of praise, let us also embrace him in our hearts as King. Grant us the faith to follow Christ, bearing our crosses daily as we walk in his footsteps. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Now this time I invite the children forward for the children's message.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be with all of you again today. I have a question for all of you. Do you know what it means to say that somebody is full of themselves? Have you ever heard that expression before? Not really. You don't know what that means? Usually, we say somebody is full of themselves when, you know, they are focusing only on themselves, that they care only about themselves. You know, everything is all about them. They say, mine, 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 right? You know, if they see a new toy, they're like, it's mine, right? You know, we're going to be tempted about this when we see Easter eggs later on this morning. We're going to be like, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Right? Yeah. You know, we do that about so many things. We do it about toys. We do it about candy and cookies, all these things. That's what it means to be full of ourselves. We think only about ourselves. Is that a good thing? No. You know, the Bible, it calls that a sin when we are focusing on ourselves. Well, properly speaking, when we talk about who everything belongs to, we would say everything rightly belongs to Jesus. You know why that is? Well, Jesus, he made everything. Jesus, we say he's the king. We say he's the king of kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Jesus has everything. Everything properly belongs to Jesus alone. But I ask you, do you think Jesus was full of himself? No. In fact, in our epistle reading this morning from Philippians, Paul tells us that Jesus, he emptied himself. Though he is in the form of God, he emptied himself. He became a man. And instead of filling himself up and just pleasing himself, giving everything good to himself, you know what he did? He poured everything out. He gave everything good to us. And what did he take instead? He filled himself up with our sin. He filled himself up with guilt and shame, and he took the punishment that we deserve for our sins. He took them to the cross for us, and he put them to death. We have a God who cares so much for us. He is so self-disinterested. He cares only about us, about bringing us to heaven where we can live with him forever, where we can be joyful and celebrate for all eternity. Well, can we join together and pray to this gracious God together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us. We thank you that he would empty himself out for us, and that he would make room to take in our sin, to take our sin, our shame away from us. We thank you for him dying on the cross, that we could live forever with you. Lord, we thank you this morning, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do not have candy for you today, but there is going to be donuts and the Easter egg hunt after service. So you can return to your seats. So thank you so much. tale of two processions. For in our gospel readings this morning, we read of two different parades, if you will. And although they occur within just 5 days of each other, and although they even center around the same single man, even still, though, they couldn't be any more different. In the first procession, we see a band of people marching through the streets. And as they do, we see smiles upon their faces. And we hear them crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" That is, "Save us! Lord, save us, please!" This was a parade of joy. And what a stir that it had made. For throughout the streets, people were following Christ, and others, they were running before him. But with songs of praise, they all shouted alike, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." With every step, the praise got louder, the commotion got greater, ever increasingly more and more people joined in as the praise was filling the air. The Jerusalem natives, they're coming out of their homes, bewildered at what's happening. "Who is this?" they ask. "We've never seen such a joyous company following a man before. We've never seen someone who leaves such a wake of praise behind him." While Jerusalem's in a stir trying to figure out what's going on, the crowd that's actually with him, though, they know full well who this is. They have all come up now to Jerusalem from Galilee, and they're telling everyone, "This is Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is he who's done many great acts through Palestine. Ask any man here," they'd say, "and they will tell you their story. How he has gone from town to village. How he's gone from Capernaum to Bethsaida, from Cana to Nazareth. He's gone everywhere, doing wonders and mighty works." The crowd singing their praises have seen him multiply bread, raise the dead, cast out demons. They've witnessed Jesus making the lame walk and the mute to speak. They have heard of the miracles. They have seen what this man has done. And now, dear friends, behold, he comes to Jerusalem, the capital city. Expectations are mounting. The people are saying he is here now to save. "Hosanna, Hosanna. Lift up your heads, you mighty gates, for your king comes to you. Open your doors, O Jerusalem, that the King of glory may enter in." What a turn of events happens then within just 5 days. For then do we see a second procession. And this one, while we still hear the impassioned cries of the multitude, they aren't cries of welcome, nor are these pleas to make him their king. But this time we hear them shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him," they say, "away with this man." Jerusalem's leaders didn't welcome him as the crowds did days before. Israel's leaders rather sought to silence him, that is, to kill them. They stirred up the crowd to seek his execution. "This man blasphemes," they say. "He has made himself out to be equal with God." So once more then, dear friends, Jesus is paraded. But this time he's paraded out of the city. He's paraded as a spectacle of sorrow, carrying a cross to be crucified. Well, quite obviously, dear friends, these processions are virtually complete opposites from one another. The one an open-armed welcome, while the other is a casting out, a spew of hatred, and a calling for this man's death. And this morning, then, as we look at these two processions together, I hope to see how in both of them we can see that Jesus is yet a king. It is kings that get processionals. And in both cases, Jesus is a king indeed. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Though the processions look so different, there is one thing that's the same between them, that in both of them, Jesus is king. In the first, we see him clearly as a king of peace. And in the latter, we shall see him as a king of grief. As we look first to our Palm Sunday processional, I want you to see Jesus, the King of Peace. Right away, we see that this is no ordinary king. See his subjects, dear friends, how they carry no swords. See them in their thousands, all manner of children, of women and infants, and all manner of humbled men. There are no weapons of warfare in their midst. The Lord's army, they carry nothing but palm branches. And surely this alone must speak volumes to the kind of king that Jesus has come to be. The King of Peace. In fact, if you were to watch him go about everything, anyone with half an eye would notice it. Though he comes conquering and to conquer, see his weapons of choice. Even his weapons are weapons of peace. He fights with kind words. He brings people captive to his will through deeds of love. He enlists soldiers into his army by wooing them with acts of servitude, by conquering them with patience and forgiveness. Jesus is unlike any other king, for he fights wickedness with love, and he overcomes evil with good. How fitting is that title, the King of Peace, for one so meek as this, so loving and selfless, so devoid of any self-interest. And dear friends, we can learn from this the way in which Jesus is pleased then to expand his kingdom even today. We see that even today, it's never through force that the church is to expand. He never calls us to bully people into the faith. You can never argue a person into the kingdom. You can't threaten them. You can't beat people into genuine repentance. It's as the saying goes, rather, that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Our blessed King has given us our weapons of warfare when he says, take up love. It's by your love that they shall know you are Christian. It is love for one another that will bear witness to the power and truth of God within you. It's hope and peace and love that's going to convince the world that God is good and mighty and that he has visited us, his people. And it is hope further that shall make men ask of you, of what is the reason of the hope that lies within you? The only way we can wrestle someone into the kingdom is if you mean by that that you are wrestling with God in prayer. And if you're wrestling with your own sinful flesh to be patient and long-suffering with the unbeliever. As is the king, So too shall his subjects be, peaceable, humble, rich in love, quick to kindness and generosity, zealous in sharing the gospel and to spreading God's kingdom. He says to be ready in season and out of season, to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. But do this, he says, with gentleness and respect. You know, once did Matthew try to take the sword and cut off the ear of a Roman soldier? He tried advancing the kingdom, his own will through force. But we see just how quickly Jesus then turns to rebuke him. For his kingdom is to be a kingdom of peace. And in light of that, I just love to see how Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph, surrounded by palm branches and praise. The king has come. The victory is won. And yet, where was the battle? You look behind him, and if you're looking for devastation or for mutilated bodies, for burned cities, you're not going to find any of that. You won't find his battles. For again, he came in peace. He fights with love. He calls his subjects to fight with love. Rather than leaving a trail of devastation, he leaves behind him a wake of blessings. The only tears that you will find behind him are those tears of great joy, where he has released captives from their bondage of sin, where he sets prisoners at liberty, and where he's lifted up those sitting in sackcloth and ashes, and where he has sat them upon thrones. In his wake, he leaves nothing but benedictions and boundless blessings, saying, "My peace I leave with you." And then, dear friends, we see just briefly the second processional now before us. Again, it's the same man. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but his kingship, we see, has taken on a completely different look. See the Lord now, the King of Sorrows. See him processing not in triumph per se, but in sorrow. 5 days later, the King of Sorrows is being led out of Jerusalem. Once he entered riding on a beast of burden, but now behold, dear friends, he is thrust out as the beast of burden. He is the beast of burden, hauling the sins of the world to be crucified on the mountain. Weighed down with all the guilt, shame, and judgment of the world, he carries the sins of all men upon his shoulders. This is a man of grief, a man of sorrows. He was marred, we are told, beyond human recognition. He was beaten, whipped, and crucified. He bears both the wrath of God and the jeers of men patiently. Though he's most clearly here the King of Grief, we see him crowned with thorns. He is still very peaceable. We still see him at peace, for though he could call legions of angels to come to his aid, though he could thunder the justice from heaven, yet as a lamb is before its shearers, so he opens not his mouth. It's an interesting detail, last of all, that verse 21 gives us in our Mark reading, that as they led Jesus away, they seized one named Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and they laid on him the cross of Jesus. Tradition would tell us that Jesus fainted under the weight of the cross. And the very fact that the Romans would even allow, even force another man to carry the cross behind Jesus, that suggests just how sorrowful and pitiful of a state he was in. As Isaiah would describe the scene, he was marred beyond human resemblance. He was scourged and disfigured. He was covered in gore and human spit. Couldn't even recognize him anymore. This is how low the King of Sorrows goes. He was in such a state that it would seem that the Romans feared that Jesus was going to die any moment. Looking at his marred appearance, seeing his emaciated state, they feared that he might die before even going to the place of execution. And so in a cruel, twisted way, they mercifully, so to speak, force another to carry the load. For Jesus, they reason, can't be spared the agonies of the cross. He can't die too early, they say, before getting nailed to the tree. So again, they enlist Simon to ease the burden, so that the King of Sorrows doesn't die of exhaustion before ever getting there. In all actuality, though, dear friends, the cross itself, that was but the wooden representation of the real suffering that was going on underneath. For while perhaps the weight of wood was transferred to Simon, its curse, though, and its sin, and all the punishment therein, all the divine wrath of God, all of that, it still rested upon the shoulders of Jesus. Jesus remained the King of the curse, still wearing the crown of thorns to the end. He earns the title and he wins the crown as he holds his peace. He goes to the very depths, the uttermost limits of torment in order to pay the uttermost price of human sin. That punishment that's reserved for wicked men, Jesus has borne that himself for all who trust in him. He has taken the sorrows and he has now left us with his peace. While we may suffer in this world, we are comforted to know that there is not a drop of divine wrath to be found anywhere in our sufferings or trials. Jesus has taken the punishment, absorbing in himself all the blows of divine wrath. He has removed sin as far as the east is from the west, and he leaves a wake of peace and benediction. My peace I leave with you, dear friends. My peace I give to you. And I am coming again soon to bring you where I am. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, at this time, we sing our next hymn. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, you are sovereign in your rule, and you reign over all things perfectly and completely, as the whole of creation does lie within your control. We praise you for the glorious King that you are, a King of peace and joy. We thank you for sending your precious Son to live and dwell among us, loving and caring for your special people, and ultimately dying as a substitute for sin. Lead us to live in joyous celebrations for the great love you have towards us. For you are a God of peace, and though you care for all creatures, you have loved us with a special love, creating us in your own image. Give us your peace and joy, knowing that you are a God merciful to forgive and are working all things together for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting Father, as Jesus came into Jerusalem in all humility and meekness, lead us, your children, to likewise walk in that same spirit. Lead us to not think too highly of ourselves, but in everything, may we see that without you, that we would be lost in trespasses and sins. In a spirit of love for others, lead us in true humility for our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers. For those who have hurt us, guide us to love these and to walk in a spirit of meekness among them. Be still in our conversations as we seek your kingdom and your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, as Jesus came with salvation, and as he has gone to the cross to win for us forgiveness, Lead us to walk in his footsteps. Lead us to bear all things patiently, always trusting that you are good, and that in all things, lead us to pray with joy and thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known to you with praise and thanksgiving. And lead us to keep our eyes upon you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you those in our midst who are struggling in mind, body, and spirit, those who are hurting, and those who belong to you of this congregation. We pray especially for Randy and Janet, as well as for Ron. And Lord, we ask that you would also be with Christine Crooks, the daughter of Curtis and Shirley, as she's been struggling with blood clots. We do thank you that she has returned home from the hospital last Friday, but we further ask that you would continue to bring strength and healing to her, bring her peace at this time, bring health and strength. Lord, bring a health and healing for all of these, your people. Continue to pour out your loving kindness upon these. Be upon our families, our parents, and children of this congregation. Prepare us for the Easter celebration next week. And continue to visit us with your grace and mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 425.